Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. And if you are just now tuning in, well, I mentioned earlier in the program that a friend of ours is currently on the Appalachian Trail. Today was his very first day setting out to walk the entire course, the whole 2,200 miles from Springer Mountain, Georgia, to Mount Katahdin in Maine. There are all kinds of challenges and hazards, and only maybe 10 or 15% of the people who set out to do this are able to make the entire route. So we are fascinated by this and very happy that we can bring you his reports in the field. Colin Lee, welcome, sir, to Speaking of Strange.
How are you, Josh? Good to hear from you, bud.
Good to hear from you as well. How was the first day on the trail?
Oh, man. It was amazing. Actually, set out this morning from Asheville about 7 o'clock with my girlfriend and my trail mate. His nickname, everyone gets a trail name out here, and I'm traveling with a guy named Trail Rick.
Okay, and what's your trail name?
What's that?
What's your trail name?
Memphis.
Memphis? Okay.
Memphis, I was actually born in Memphis, so.
All right, well that makes sense.
Kind of suiting.
And so how far have you made it today? You've walked maybe about 16?
We all left out. Actually hiked that we came in about a mile north of actually the southern terminus at Springer Mountain. We were a mile north of it on this Forest Service road. We parked there, and my parents and I walked to the top with my girlfriend, and we sat and had lunch at the top at the beginning of Springer Mountain and on the Appalachian Trail. We started out, and we walked a mile back north to the car, said our goodbyes, and carried on my way. I made it 15.9 miles today.
Wow, that's great.
It was quite a pace. I mean, from 12, I started at 12, 12:03, I think. I signed the book, registered in, and started walking at 12:03, and 6:50, I pulled into Gooch's Gap, Gooch Mountain Shelter. So, pretty good pace today. I'm hurting from it a little bit.
Well, now, was everybody just bawling their eyes out as they bid you farewell for 6 months?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I had to shed a couple tears myself. It's been a long time coming to hike this, so
now
it's really special to be out here, and I got a lot of support, and I'm gonna be a lot of the creature comforts, and there's nothing like having
so now
close to you. So
what has the past 16 miles been like? What kind of terrain have you been walking over?
I'd say it's probably been 33 each, uphill, downhill, and even ground. The uphills are pretty steep, and you feel the downhill more than you do the uphill. Although it's a little slower going up, but pretty the elevation rise is anywhere from you'll go down 1,000 feet and then up 700, down another 7, then up 1,200. So it's pretty rough.
Earlier,
you can't really complain about it at the same time, because my parents actually live up toward Robbinsville and Western North Carolina, and that's the real mountains,
so
as
now,
far as I'm concerned. So.
Earlier in the show, I was going over the hazards of walking this trail. Now, when it comes to black bears and wild boars, I mean, do you have a gun, or how are you going to handle those encounters?
No, I don't have a gun. It's funny you mentioned black bears. I'm actually standing here underneath the food storage cable systems. It's, these bear cables. Wish I could send you a picture, but I'm looking at something like 40 bags that are hung up by three different cables stretched across two trees. There was about 40 of us packed in the shelter tonight. I'm standing about, say 100 yards away from campsite underneath these cables holding all of our food bags up in the air. There's probably, I'd say, 200 pounds worth of food about 15 feet above my head.
Yeah. So do you have bear mace or anything like that?
Some people bring guns out here. I'm not a fan of handguns. I got this stuff called Red Saber. I think they use it at like U.S. embassies and SWAT teams use them. I think you'd probably rather be shot by a gun than the spray I have. Hopefully, I'm not going to have to use it, on a person or an animal. So you're asking about the risk out here. The bear is certainly one, but it's really almost like a traveling city. Yeah, I have 40 people at this campsite, and about 20 of us are going to be shoved in a shelter tonight. So,
man, is it going to be hard to sleep with all those people snoring and whatnot? Or I guess
you got to be the first one to snore, and I think you're the winner. That's going to work, I was waiting for you to call. The moment we're off, I'm gonna sprint in there and see if I can. If you're the first one snoring, I don't think you're going to hear anybody else. So
now, I know how excited you were 7 days ago. Do you still feel that excited, or are you...
I was somewhere the first mile. I think I skipped for about 200 yards. Yeah. Just with the 35-pound pack on, just skipping away. So excited to be out here. So, it's been 3 years in the making, and it's a good time to get away and kind of, reorganize, restructure life for a second. Everyone, I think, needs to take time to, focus on themselves, as selfish as that sounds. But
well, now, you have a history of adventure, though, don't you?
Somewhat, yeah. A little bit, yeah. I've traveled abroad to Haiti a few times on mission trips, working with homeless street kids. And I've been on a few adventures. Nothing like this, though.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of days, I couldn't even wrap my mind around the scope of this, this adventure. It's one thing to say, hey, I'm going to go hiking for, even a week. But when there's 24 weeks, it's not, the other part, we're not out here the whole time. I'm going to be out here for 3 days, and I'm going to run into a town, resupply, and then get right back on the trail. So you do have the... Yeah, it's not like completely like into the wild, but like who's that guy, Alex Supertramp, who went up to Alaska and died in that bus or something.
Right.
We're not that stranded. And like I said, I'm around 40 other people that are like-minded and out here all for the same reason. So.
Yeah. So now.
For their own reasons.
And what made you decide to do this? How did all this happen for you?
I used to be a counselor for gang kids group called Eckerd Youth Alternatives, and did that for almost a year, working with 13 to 15 year old young troubled boys in the woods, and you focus on them the whole time. I've always enjoyed being out in the woods, and I always said to myself that I wanted to take my own time and spend in the woods as long, I don't know, that time in the woods with the kids, it was as good as it was. I was like, all right, it's my time to do that now. So I've always wanted to just get out and have my own time in the woods and for the Appalachian Trail. I have a good buddy who did it. My cousin's done it. It's pretty amazing how many people have done it. I've ran into people so many times over the last couple of weeks that, you're like you're surrounded by angels that have walked the trail before.
Well, speaking of that, you sort of had a paranormal experience that sort of inspired you to do this as well, didn't you?
Inspired me to do it.
A little angelic voice, maybe.
I've had a... I think everyone feels energy. I think it's energy more than anything. Whether you can put it in form. Some see them, some don't. But, I play a lot of disc golf. I play at Richmond Hill, and I broke my arm a couple months ago, and I was really close to doing it, and then I also thought I was going to have to put it off for a while. And I was walking up Richmond Hill on hole 14, and I felt and heard this voice, like someone's right on my shoulder. And they said, you're doing the right thing, or it's all going to be good. And it was something like that. It was a little woman's voice said, you're going to be okay, or something like that. Are you doing the right thing? It was just, and then this feeling. And I had nothing else to do but respond. I said, thank you. And I've never breathed the cleanest air in my life than I breathed in that moment going up that hill.
So that's got to make you feel great that there.
Yeah, it makes you feel so. You know that. I don't know. I believe there's people out there. There's you're past relatives or loved ones that are always watching over you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you need that now more than ever.
Yep.
And so now let's say you get into some kind of a jam out there and you need to be rescued. We actually talked some about this before. Do you think that when a guy like yourself takes a risk to do this, that the taxpayers should spend money to zoom out there and rescue you if something goes wrong?
I don't think so, no. It depends on the injury. I mean, I'd say yes on that one, absolutely. In as much as the guy out in the woods who's really searching, you know, following his passion and hiking out here, who falls and hurts himself,
mm-hmm.
you know, you say getting a jam, you know, it's one thing if, you know, there was a southbounder a couple months ago who, when that hurricane came into New York and all that, and a you know, huge weather system wrapped around West Virginia, and there's all these people in West Virginia, like, you know, 30 or 40, is like, yeah, I wouldn't go on, man. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not even safe out there. It's maybe snow. You know, and this one guy ended up, you know, going on, thinking maybe he's like, oh, you know, Alex Supertramp did it in Alaska, I can do it. And he got, you know, stuck in 10-foot snowdrift. This was a southbounder about 4 months ago, and he had to be airlifted out. So a guy like that who makes a stupid decision, yeah, I don't think, you know, I think he's responsible for that one. But, you know, with, my girlfriend's also a nurse, so I have a lot of comments on, you know, the abuse of ambulances and all that stuff. So.
Yeah.
Hospital. So let's not go. I don't want to get off the subject too much, but, you know, if someone injures himself out here, I don't think, unless it's someone who does something stupid, like going to a snowdrift and while everyone else stops, you have a lot of people out here supporting each other and, they're going to pick you up if you fall. You know, like I said, at any point, I just looked at the registry today before I left and, I think just this morning, 15 hikers registered today. Yesterday, I think about 30. So, and you know, probably tomorrow, there'll probably be another 50, 20 to start. So at any given time, you know, if you fall, really get hurt out here, you know, in front and behind you 10 miles, you have, you know, 20, 30 people. So
yeah.
I don't think you're really going to get that stranded and, you know, if you really got hurt.
All right, I tell you what.
People out here would take care of you. I mean, I certainly would.
We got to take a break. Can you hold on
sure
to chat a little bit more on the other side? Okay,
yeah.
Great. Because I know that the Colin, he's out there in the middle of nowhere, and hopefully we'll keep a signal. And also, this guy's going to have to get some sleep. he's doing a lot of strenuous work. When we come back, I would like to ask him a little bit more about the types of people that he is seeing out there on the trail. I'm sure that it changes dramatically when you're at the beginning of the trail versus in the middle, but are these folks like him or are some of them kind of shady characters? What do you encounter on the Appalachian Trail? And by the way, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, we will also have a link there to Colin's Facebook page, and we hope you guys will go and become his friend and keep up with his journey. We'll continue chatting with him. Right after this, I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Wasting the day. The man who
adventure, my friends. Right now, on Speaking of Strange, talking to a man who is on the first night of an incredible journey. He is walking the entire length of the Appalachian Trail. He's starting in Georgia and presumably will go through North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, and finally end in Maine, 2,200 miles on foot over the next 6 months. And tonight he is at the Gooch Mountain Shelter. He just started today, so he is 16 miles into this trek, and his name is Colin Lee. So, Colin, do we still have you there?
Okay. Absolutely.
Great. So let me ask you, obviously there's a different selection of people at the beginning of this trail than you're going to find at various points along the way, but are the people who are hiking this thing right now, these other people who are in the shelter, are they like you? Do they have all the gear and are these different?
For the most part, yeah. You get a whole mix of people really out here. Just on the way, on the first 15 miles passing, I passed a few people. My pace is pretty intense. I passed this old couple, probably 54 years old, a little heavier set, and they're planning on doing the whole thing. And, I told my walking buddy trail wreck, I said, I don't think we're going to see them again. And we probably won't. Most of these people the shelter here, they really good gear. Passed a few Boy Scouts today, a couple of Eagle Scouts that I knew were ended up the same place. They passed them. Hey, you guys, where you guys ended up today? And so we all got here, and everyone's kind of trying to cram for space in the shelter. We got actually a little bit of rain coming in right now, and I think around 11 o'clock it's supposed to come in sideways. So all these Boy Scouts, these couple Boy Scouts and their fathers, and showed up. They're probably Eagle Scouts, they're 16, 17, but, they start pulling out all this Mylar and tarps and stuff, and, I certainly don't have any of that gear. I don't know if they're out here for, a week hike or something, but, a tarp or Mylar is a little kind of extreme for someone who's through hiking. He's trying to pack real light, but, these guys rolled in here tonight and started pulling out Mylar. Now our shelter, we increased the size of it and added, 10 people to it, and there's not going to be a speck of rain in there tonight. I was like, thank God for Boy Scouts.
So now,
I don't think I can count on that the whole way for sure. But
what gear do you have? What did you bring with you for this?
I went with my buddy Nate. He's a nurse at Mission Hospital. Hiked it a couple years ago, mm-hmm. and I kind of sat with him a few months ago and said, hey, if you could do the whole trail again. This was more than a few months ago, but. If you do the whole trail again, what kind of gear would you bring, or what was the most popular gear? If I was going to do it, I kind of wanted to do it in a way that not to be the most comfortable, but you're traveling the lightest and it's the most comfortable walk you could have. I went with a Big Agnes, who's a really great company out of Colorado. I got one of their tents called the Seed House, and I also have a sleeping bag of theirs with a blow up mattress underneath. I'm actually sleeping about 2.5 inches off the ground. This air mattress has a sleeve, or fits right underneath my sleeping bag, and pretty nice. Otherwise, I got a solar panel charger out here, so I can continue my, my phone usage. Got a couple of business things to work on while I'm out here too, so got to kind of stay as connected as I can, but I'm trying to kind of disconnect at the same time. So,
what kind of solar charger do you have there for your phone?
Goal Zero. I could maybe in a couple of weeks from now I could give you a report on how well it works, but it charged to my, the battery pack that it's attached to. I charged my phone tonight. The question is whether or not the sun. Well, I'm not going to see sun for 2 days, so I might have to be off my phone for a couple of days.
Oh,
we don't have a call tomorrow, do we?
Not tomorrow, but
okay.
So Colin, let me ask you this: what if you get bit by a snake or something like that? What's the plan?
Oh shoot. I got a lot of first aid with all the working in the woods with the kids. At this time of year, I'm really not worried. I think once right around Pennsylvania, when it really starts warming up, maybe Virginia. You got to watch out for timber rattlers and stuff. I think my buddy Nate said he ran across one, started dancing pretty quick. If you got bit,
yeah,
you know, tie it up. If you got a bite, if you suck it out, and start walking real slow and start looking at your next, you know, what your next city is.
Sure. Wow.
Then again, yeah, it's good to have the phone out here, but I sit down, got to take it real slow.
Yeah.
Don't start panicking when something like that happens. But hopefully not that's going to happen. These trails are pretty traveled, so there's a lot of stomping going on. And, you know, like I said, if there's all these people that are, you know, within 10 miles in front of me, behind me, I don't think snakes really attract much vibration. So I don't know. Pray that we don't have to run into that.
So do you prefer cold weather or hot weather? Which of those two would you rather?
Oh, boy. I guess it depends on my mood, really, but I was born in Memphis, raised in Chicago for 17 years, so
yeah.
After going to school in Connecticut and living in Jersey and New York for 10 years, I don't mind the cold one bit.
Yeah.
I also playing a lot of frisbee golf or disc golf in Asheville with the Western North Carolina disc golf guys. We play rain. You know, there's a thing called Winter Warriors. We played year-round for the last 4 years. We do an ice bowl every year. We played one year in 36 degrees and sideways rain.
Wow.
And loving every second of it. So.
So are you keeping a diary or something like that through
this?
Yeah,
I have a book with me. I'll probably start jotting stuff down. You know, like I said, probably not tonight, but I do have a little book with me. Got a couple business plans I've been working on. They're all in there, and yeah, I'll probably keep a little documentation. I got a brand new camera that a little Canon shot, and take a lot of photos, and I'll post a couple things on Facebook here and there when I get the service.
Okay. Well, so what we want to do then is we'll just touch base with you at least once a month or something like that.
If you want to do it every other week or once a week, you do that.
Well, that sounds good. You know, it just depends on if anything exciting is happening, but I presume there will be a lot of excitement happening.
There might be. Maybe I'll just give you a call and leave you a message on your cell phone or something big.
Yeah, absolutely. And we
you got to give me a call. I got some good stories.
Okay. And we do have your Facebook page there linked up on our website.
That's
so
awesome.
You'll have a lot of people following along with you.
Good.
Well, you know, I tell you, I'm excited for you and fascinated by, you know, being able to keep track of your entire journey, and gosh, you know, I wish you nothing but the best.
Yeah, just,
good luck to you.
Keep your prayers with me, and you know, I'm psyched to be out here. I just want to be safe, and you know, something like a sprained ankle could take you out for a couple of weeks. So
just
keep your prayers up, and keep in your thoughts.
All right,
well,
you get some rest, my friend, and we'll be talking to you again soon. So happy trails. All right, thanks so much. There you go, everybody. That was Colin Lee, and he's joining us tonight. You could hear him right there from the Gooch Mountain Shelter. He just started his trek down the Appalachian Trail today. And, gosh, can you imagine if you had 2,200 miles of hiking ahead of you over the next 6 months? It'll be interesting to see, Forrest, what his demeanor is like when we talk to him in a couple months.
It would be. I mean, personally, I would start up north. Well, I guess it's kind of cold up north right now still. I would start a little bit later in the year, start up north and work my way down south.
You'd do it that way, would you?
I would.
Well, you know, I was reading there are two different types of people, essentially, who do one of those things. Let's see, where does it say here? If you start in the south and you hike north, they have a certain term for you. I don't know if I can find it now. And okay, here it is. So if you start in the south and you head north, you're called a Georgia to Maine, G-A-M-E. That's, or also they'll call you a Nobo, which is a northbound.
Okay.
And if you're doing the opposite, they'll call you a southbounder or a Sobo or a Mega, which is Maine to Georgia. So I think it makes more sense to be a game or a mega, because, you know, those are just the abbreviations.
Easy to remember. Of course, southbound and northbound are pretty self-explanatory. Also.
Yeah, Nobo or Sobo.
Well, you mentioned you saw some southbounders coming in
yeah.
during the interview there. So.
Gosh, if they came all the way from Maine, they were starting out in some really rough weather.
Yes, sir.
6 months ago, I guess, up there. Well, so, Forrest, you think there's probably no chance you'll ever do this?
I wouldn't say there's not a chance, but, you know, I mean, if I were younger.
Yeah. How about you, Shelley Wright? Would you?
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more weird stories and a survey. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's Speaking of Strange. Trail, walking 2,200 miles through some of the most secluded land in the United States. We talk to him in a month, and he says, "Guys, I saw Bigfoot." What would you think if he, I mean, because I don't know, honestly, what's the statistic? I think thousands of people, they go on this route every year. Again, most of them don't make it all the way. But how many claim they see Bigfoot? I hear about it, do you?
I don't know. I'd have to look up some statistics or something to find out if anyone's actually spotted Bigfoot while doing a through trip on the Appalachian Trail. I mean, I'm sure someone somewhere has said, "Oh, yeah, I was out on the trail one night, had a couple drinks. And by gosh, Bigfoot was right there looking at me."
And yet, amazingly, they don't mention that in the Wikipedia article. You'd think that that'd be, it's like, well, there are bears, there's a wild boar, there's Bigfoot, there's snakes. You'd be like, whoa, wait a second.
Bigfoot?
That's where he is! All this time, he's been on the Appalachian Trail! Yeah, well, you know, what, Shelley?
I was going to say, I don't think Wikipedia would see it as a plus like we do.
Well, okay, now, by the way, folks, you're listening to Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. And I'll remind you, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a link to Colin Lee's Facebook page there. You can keep up some with his adventure. You know, I'm sure that if I ask Colin tonight, "Have you seen a Bigfoot?" Well, obviously, the answer would be no, because you don't have to ask somebody that, I would think. He would have just blurted that out. Guys, I saw Bigfoot, right? But in a month or two, I think that, you know, it will be an appropriate question. Have you seen Bigfoot? Now, some believe Bigfoot is just a really hairy, inbred redneck who, you know, he's big and stinky and he lives out in the woods.
Right. Well, actually, getting up back on asking about Bigfoot, mm-hmm. next time we talk to him, you need to ask him if... have him asking the other hikers if they've seen Bigfoot or get any stories along these lines to see if he can be on the lookout for stories like this.
You know, that's right. As a matter of fact, next time I talk to him, I'm going to tell him we want him to be sort of like a correspondent on the trail, if he will do that, and make a point. If, you know, obviously people will probably think you're nuts if you're stopping everybody and asking them if they've seen a Bigfoot or they've been abducted by an alien or something. But
I mean, the conversations come up around the campfire.
Absolutely.
And, you know, another thing is, like, a lot of the area the Appalachian Trail cuts through a lot of old, like, old settlement villages and everything, abandoned areas. Like, there might be some paranormal activity around
ghost towns.
Some of these old towns.
That's right.
Old ghost graveyards.
Towns. That'd be a hell of a thing, wouldn't it? You talk to a guy and you say, oh, have you gotten bit by a snake? No, no. Have you been attacked by a bear? No, no. Well, anything happened? Well, I was abducted by aliens. What? I was probed? They took me off in the swamps and probed me. I'd almost rather be attacked by a bear.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not. maybe probing is not so bad. It depends on...
Well,
you know,
the alien technology has advanced since the, since the 70s probing.
We'll ask him if he packs some lube in his gear.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I've got a survey here about Bigfoot. And other issues related to that. Apparently, and this is from The Guardian, a reputable news source, there is a company called the PPP, or Public Policy Polling, that has surveyed a selection of Americans. I don't know how big their sample was here. To explore how voters' political beliefs impact their willingness to embrace conspiracy theories. Like, for example, according to this poll, they say that 1 in 4 Americans suspect that Barack Obama is the Antichrist. yeah. More than a third believe that global warming is a hoax. And more than half suspect that a secretive global elite is trying to set up a new world order. Okay, so those are the kinds of things they're sort of getting at. But while they were at it, they start asking these other questions like, you know, do you believe that the moon landing was faked? Apparently, they say 7% of the Americans in the survey believe the moon landing was faked. But 14% believe in Bigfoot. So twice as many people believe in Bigfoot as believing that the moon landing was hoaxed. You know, I'll tell you my problem with this survey, though. Okay, if I ask you, let's say I'm the survey guy, Shelley Wright, do you believe in Bigfoot, yes or no?
No.
You would say no. Okay, Forrest?
Have doubts.
Well, that's not an option.
No.
Yes or no? You
no.
Say no? Here's my problem with this question. And I know that only a guy like me would bring this up. I am not sure that I can simply say there's no Bigfoot, because it depends on what we are defining Bigfoot as. I am open to the idea that Bigfoot could be a ghostly or interdimensional type creature. That's the only way that I think you can account for the experiences people have with the lack of physical evidence. But if you're asking me, do you believe there is an 800-pound, 8-foot-tall, bipedal ape that's on the loose? No, I don't. But obviously, this type of survey is not going to take into consideration those nuances of definition. So if I was just asked blatantly, do you believe in Bigfoot? I guess, you know, I would say no, because I would figure they're probably getting at, you know, their meaning, their intention is the big ape-like thing. But it's, again, it may not be an accurate reflection of what my real answer would be if the question were a little more detail-oriented.
True.
Some people would say that it's equally crazy, but, you know, all I know is that I've talked to plenty of people who say they've seen Bigfoot, and I don't think all of them are lying or misinterpreting what they're seeing, but I don't think there is physical evidence, so the only way to reconcile this is to say it could be one of these ghostly things. If you ask me, do I believe in ghosts? Yes, I do. I have a number of reasons, personal and otherwise, for that. I'm sure you would say yes, Shelley, right?
Yes, I would.
Forrest, how about you?
Yeah.
Did you say yes? Forrest, do you believe the moon landings were faked?
No, I don't.
Shelley?
No.
I don't either. What's interesting is this survey, however, went so far that they say that they ask people if they believe that Paul McCartney died in a car crash in 1966 and was replaced by a double so the Beatles could continue their careers. And they say that 5% of people believe that. So that's pretty small, but still, that's a significant number if it's accurate. You know, 5% of, what do we have, like 300 million people in the U.S. now? That's a big number of people. I don't believe that. Do you guys believe that?
No.
That Paul McCartney was replaced? They even went so far as to ask how many people believe in shape-shifting reptilian beings among us. Okay. And they say that 4% believe that. That, quote, shape-shifting alien reptilian people control our world by taking on human form, end quote. Do you believe that, Shelley?
I don't. I just...
Forrest?
No.
You know, this is another one which it would be difficult for me. I know that I'm just obviously providing ample proof of my insanity, but... You know, the thing is, like, how am I supposed to know if that's happening? If I have to say yes or no, I'll say no. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, it's possible. How would I know, right, if there's some shape-shifting reptilian invasion going on? I, you know, for all I know, Shelley could be a reptilian, Forrest. How would we know if she's a shape-shifting reptilian being?
Need David Icon here to tell you that.
Yeah. He would definitely be among the percentage that believes. But, you know, they get into, and here's also something interesting. They say that only 11% embrace the concept that the U.S. government knowingly allowed the 9/11 attacks to take place. So less people believe that the government knew something about 9/11 than the number that believe in Bigfoot. Now, that does surprise me, because, you know, Bigfoot is, by all conventional standards, a mythical creature. But there is plenty of evidence that governments, they conspire against their people from time to time. There's ample evidence that that's happened historically, including our government. So it's interesting, you know, ask yourself how you fit into some of these categories. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let me tell you why that Disney World has granted $8,000 to a man who took one of their rides. He had a bad experience, and they paid him off. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
rode my bicycle past your window last night. I roller skated to your door at daylight. It almost seems like you're avoiding me. I'm okay alone, but you got something I need. Well, I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key. I think that we should get together and try the magic. I've been looking around.
Of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. And next hour is what we call the Dark 30 Hour. That's when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news, often more sordid and seedy, not for the kiddies and not for the easily offended. So if you fall into those groups, well, just tune out for the next hour of the show. And then tune back in for something perhaps a bit more family-friendly. Forrest, do you remember when, I guess, on one of our cruises, we docked in the Bahamas, and nearby was a Disney cruise ship?
How can I forget?
It's nightmarish, isn't it?
Yes.
Tell everybody what happened.
It's a small world after all, over and over and over and over and over
yep.
and over and over
Blaring.
And over. And
everybody.
Over.
And, you know, we were sitting next to the ship, and we were like, never will we ever conceive of going on a Disney cruise. I don't think I ever would anyway. Don't have kids, don't need to do a Disney cruise. But that sealed the deal. And so, you know, I didn't even want to play A Small World as bumper coming back. I don't care if I ever hear it again. And then I see this story. I've been to Disneyland numerous times. That's what parents who love their children do around here. But, Forrest, you've been to Disney World, right?
Yes.
Okay, I knew you were going to do that. I'm just going to ignore it. I'm going to tune it out. But
you looked at me pointedly at that one.
Well, your parents never took you to Disney World.
No.
They don't give you Easter baskets anymore. They never took you to Disney World. I think you need some counseling.
My parents love me.
Do you like this song, Small World?
No.
Well, listen to this. At Disneyland, which is in California, a ride malfunctioned, and a man was stuck there with this song blaring over and over and over for 30 minutes on a loop, okay? And they say that, and this was a disabled man, they say he suffers from panic attacks and high blood pressure. He needed to urinate. And that if they'd done the proper thing, they would have gone in and rescued him and got him out of there. Instead, he had to sit there until they repaired the ride. Thank goodness it was only 30 minutes. But this was, they say, you know, it was just driving him nuts. So he went out, and they took him to the first aid station. And then, of course, I guess there was some discussion of him filing a claim, et cetera, et cetera. So according to this story from the Daily Mail, Disneyland awarded him $8,000 for listening to Small World for 30 minutes.
Wow.
Only 30 minutes?
Yeah, that's worth it. I could do it for $8,000 for 30 minutes.
Yeah, but we were there for hours.
Yeah, we are owed something right, Forrest. Is it too late? Have the statute of limitations passed on this?
I don't know, but I'd be willing to check into it.
Disney's got so much money, if we just were to start raising a stink about it, we might be able to get, I don't know, at least $8,000, it looks like.
I think so.
A piece. And, See, Shelley, it's a shame. If you'd gone to Disney World, then maybe we could include you in this somehow, but...
Did you ever ride this ride?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It's actually kind of cool. I like the ride.
The little puppets, animatronic puppets.
Yeah. It's a neat ride. I wonder if they update that stuff, or if you would go there and it looked exactly like it did in the 1970s or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder, like, have they updated especially the Pirates of the Caribbean? That was always my favorite Disney World ride. But now that the movies have come out, I'm sure they've probably dressed it up to look more like the movies.
Everyone was always like, ride Space Mountain, ride Space Mountain.
Yeah.
I mean, it was okay. It was a roller coaster. But
in the dark. It's a roller coaster in the dark.
I think the neatest thing when I was there was the flying 360 ride they had, where you just sat in the thing and, like, they had all the television screens around you where it felt like you were actually flying in this airplane or whatever they were.
Was that Epcot or Disney World?
That was Disney World, I believe.
Oh, okay. I don't recall that. Okay, well, hey, here's one last story before we wrap up this hour. And this reminds me also of one of our little discussions with Colin Lee as he's out there in the shelter with 40 strangers. Trying to sleep. That doesn't sound like fun, does it? Here's a story from Salt Lake City, Utah. A man has been charged there for setting fire to his wife's clothing because he was upset about her snoring. Yeah, 60-year-old man. It says when his wife went to take a nap, he lit her pants on fire. Now, and of course, he told the police that it was just, they've been arguing about her snoring, and that's why he did it. Like she has any control over this, right? But when I first read this headline, it said, set fire to her clothing. I was wondering, like, was the clothing on her? Well, yes, it was. So I would say that's just setting fire to your wife at that point, right?
Yeah.
That's what he did.
I would call that attempted murder.
Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly.
Get a divorce.
Or at least, you know, separate bedroom. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it will be time for the more dark and twisted things, the stuff we save for the end of the program, the Dark 30 Hour. I am Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange.